In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please be seated. Paul writes, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice." Now, there are many, many turning points in our lives, isn't that right? These touchstones of our lives, they can stay with us. Times when we remember where exactly we were when important events happened. First dates, marriages, children born, children graduated, children boomeranging back into the nest. And we also remember when and where for other occasions. Those times when things are in turmoil, or it seems like the world is closing in on us. Vietnam, Korea, Middle East, Daley Plaza, 9/11. Even closer to home, the passing of family and friends, the loss of employment. These events, they have and leave deep-seated scars within us. We carry these for decades, if not until the end of our days. The joyful ones, of course, are the easiest to bear, and because we are blessed beyond measure, and because we live in a country where we experience even hard times in a way unlike the rest of the world, sometimes we can forget to involve God in the way St. Paul recommends. Now, I don't think we mean to do this. No one goes out of their way not to be thankful. But there is something about believers who happen to reside in the United States. We experience pain in a unique way. We have access to medicines that the rest of the world could not possibly afford. It becomes easy to think that we deserve everything that we have been accustomed to receiving. You know, sometimes it feels like we just expect to have grace upon grace poured upon us. How many of us return a quick thanksgiving before we eat? And what does that say about us? Does it actually mean we're ungrateful if we do not? Nah, I don't think so. I don't think we mean to do it like that, but I think this behavior is observable. In our readings today, Paul is encouraging the Philippians to return thanks for the good things in life. And even if we are not quite up to the level of St. Paul in showing gratefulness, and even though we certainly are grateful as a body of believers, we can still understand Paul's engagement with this topic. And why not? Good things happen. Give thanks. They're blessings. Give thanks. Be grateful if you possibly can be. And this is a good passage for just that very thing. And then Paul does something strange. He runs completely off the tracks with this thanksgiving things. He writes, "Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." Really? In everything by prayer and supplication and with thanksgiving? Who could believe this? Who could do this thing that Paul asks? Think of the titanic shift in self-worth that would have to happen in order for this to take place within us. It wasn't too long ago that a 29-year-old man who had been a believer for about 17 years or so had to deal with one of life's certainties. His own father had been diagnosed 10 years earlier at the age of 44, and now was at that place that we all will come to. No need to go into the details. Everyone knows the physical processes that happen in those night watches. But when it was all over, The young man gave thanks. Now, isn't that odd? The young man gave thanks not only for the ending of suffering, anyone can understand that, but he gave thanks for having his father in his life for the amount of time that he did. Now, that kind of a response is not something that's in the curriculum for confirmation in the Episcopal Church, but I think you could make a case that it should be. Giving thanks in a circumstance of great grief, great pain, is something that is caught better than taught. The young man had been a part of a faith community that actually believed in giving thanks in all circumstances, just as St. Paul wrote to the Philippians. Now, not because he was brainless. He could actually differentiate between good and evil, between appropriate and inappropriate. That wasn't it at all. He gave thanks because he actually believed that there was something to be thankful for. And something to be grateful for, even in that moment of passing. You see, giving thanks for the hard piece as well as the easy is an exercise in trust. And it's not something that's generated from a place of emotionless sarcasm, like saying, "Wow, God, thanks for handing me this mess." Not at all. It's really about trust, and this idea is seen again and again through Scripture. In his letter to the Romans, the same St. Paul, our St. Paul, writes, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose." You see, it's that kind of trust that we're speaking of. Not a feeling that we should be protected from the ravages of the world, but a trust that God knows each one of us intimately. And God knows about pain. And God knows about suffering. And will be right there beside us. And when the bad happens, that God will weave that experience into the fabric of our lives in such a way that it becomes possible to rely, to know the Rock of Ages loves us and wants the best for us, even when tragedy happens. You see, this letter is a wake-up call, really. Now look, from what we know, Paul was not one of those to talk out of both sides of his mouth. He doesn't pontificate on the right way to approach a Christian life while doing the exact opposite in his private life. We all know those people who say, "Do as I say and not as I do." This is not our St. Paul. He's not that guy. And lest we think that St. Paul did not know sorrow as we experience it today, we have to remember his life story as articulated in the Scripture. He is attacked. He was whipped. He was stoned. He was left for dead. Paul knew crushing defeats in ministry. And he was imprisoned for his belief in the risen Lord Jesus of Nazareth. Paul was a man well acquainted with sorrow. And yet, St. Paul gives thanks for being in prison. Now that's odd, isn't it? Paul sees everything as an opportunity. Even what would normally be considered as a setback by any other person, perhaps in their right mind. And what we find is, at the very end of this letter, it seems fairly clear that Paul has used his time in prison as a blessing to others. He's been able to interact with the very slaves of the emperor who was going to judge him. And you can bet if we know St. Paul, he was preaching the risen Lord to all of them. All because he was in prison. See, he gave thanks for that opportunity. Often, we take the truly hard things in our lives and never use the tools given to us by the Almighty God to rise above. Do we weep? Of course, do we mourn the crushing experiences we have in this life? You better believe it. But just as believers rise in victory at the second coming, we have a path offered to us that will take us from the depths of defeat. When we can turn from ourselves, even in the hard times, and give thanks, then, St. Paul says, the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Do we want peace in our lives? Practice thanksgiving. You see, this is a life in Christ, thanksgiving. This is what is offered to us by our Lord through the words of St. Paul. This is true victory over the changes and chances in our lives. And I pray that we may see the value in holding fast to these words in hard times as well as good. Give thanks. In all circumstances, give thanks. Let us pray. Lord, we pray Thee that Thy grace may always precede and follow us and make us continually to be given to all good works. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with Thee in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.